your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. We've got a lot to rejoice in. We're so thankful for what the Lord has done. Jesus Christ was born to save. And the only way he could save us was to be a sacrifice for our sins. And we have so much to be thankful for, so much to rejoice in today. If you thought that we would just have some singing and then I wouldn't preach, I'm sorry to disappoint you. But we want to take some time to look into God's word this morning. Luke chapter 2, if you'll find verse 8, that's where we're going to begin today. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And man, I appreciate the choir so much. Didn't the kids do an awesome job? Amen. I'm so, so proud of these kids. They just sang their hearts out. And the older kids in the adult choir, they did good too. Let's stand together if you're able for the reading of God's word this morning, Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And the word of God says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity to come to sing your praises, to worship you, and to rejoice in the birth of our Savior. We thank you that you came to be one of us, to die for us, to give us everlasting life. I pray that you'd help me now as we look into your word. I could say exactly what you'd have me to. And Father, I pray if there's anyone here today who's never been born again, that this morning, even today, they would repent of their sin and unbelief. They would trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ with all their heart. They would call on you and be saved today. I pray for those that are saved, they follow you in baptism, serve you faithfully in the church. And Lord, that you just help all of us to do your will today. Thank you. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And please be seated. I hope you got the message of the songs that we sang, because it really was just trying to kind of tell this story. To give us an account musically of what happened that night that Jesus was born. And it's an amazing thing to me. You think about how many nights the shepherds spent out in the fields watching over their flock by night. And this night was no different than any other night that they were out there until something incredible happened. It's amazing to me to consider the fact that they didn't know. They didn't know what was going on in Bethlehem. They knew that the taxation, the census was going on. They knew a lot of people had come. But they didn't realize that there was a young virgin named Mary who was carrying God himself in her womb. That's incredible. And they didn't know what was going on that night until the angel of the Lord came upon them. Verse 9, "And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." These shepherds, just faithfully doing what they did all the time. Now, lowly shepherds, some of the lowest in the classes of people in Israel, some of the lowest of the low, just lowly shepherds, got to see the glory of God. Now, you guys know that I've been here very much. This year, our theme has been "For His Glory." We've been talking about the glory of the Lord all year long. And everything that we do, we want God to get the glory. And in order to do that, we've tried to look in the Word of God to help you see the glory of God. And we can see God's glory by faith. But these men got to see God's glory literally, physically. And what an incredible thing that must have been. Can you imagine how afraid they were? But Joe read just a moment ago, when they saw that, they were terrified. And they really were terrified. They were sore afraid. They had megaphobia, is what it means in the Greek. And that kind of translates well for us, doesn't it? They were megaphobia. They were extremely afraid that night. And then the angel speaks to them in verse 10. "The angel said unto them, Fear not." Now, I don't know about you, but I remember sometimes growing up, I'd be scared, and my dad might say to me, don't be afraid. Usually it was just a lie. It was at the dentist or something like that, where there's reason for great fear. Right, Sister Phyllis? No, okay. You know, there's times your kids get afraid. Maybe it's dark outside and you're going from the house to the car or something like that, and your kids get afraid and you say, "Don't be afraid." Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes just somebody saying, "Don't be scared," isn't enough for me. If I'm out there and all of a sudden the angels appear and the glory of God shines, I'm going to be terrified. I'm going to be scared to death just like they were. And the angel's first words are, fear not. But he doesn't just leave them with don't be afraid. He gives them a reason. He says, fear for or because, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now get this, friends. In a second, you're startled to death. You're just scared anyway. You're startled, but then you're terrified because the glory of God is there and you're seeing angels and you're probably wondering whether you're crazy or not. And maybe you're looking at the other guys going, because it's shepherds, plural, there's other guys there. Maybe you're looking at them just to see, are they seeing what I'm seeing? Have you ever had a moment like that when you see something and you think, I must be losing my mind? I told you guys before, one night, Melissa and I were driving home from Tulsa. We left the kids at mom and dad's, and we were coming up Bragg's Mountain. Now, some of you don't know what that is. It's not really a mountain, but that's what we call it, Bragg's Mountain. And as we're coming up the mountain, Bigfoot walked across the road. I kid you not that this hairy beast went from one side of the road to the other side of the road, and I slowed down because it walked in front of us, and I slowed down and drove past, and I'm wondering if I've lost my mind. And I literally looked at Melissa just to see, did you see that? Or am I going crazy? And I wasn't crazy. We both did see it. It wasn't really Bigfoot. For all of you guys that are getting, Lexi's like really excited right now. Youth pastors, if you don't know this, youth pastors are really, really stupid creatures. And come to find out, a youth pastor from Fort Gibson had dressed up in a gorilla suit and had his youth group on the side of Bragg's Mountain, and they'd been going back and forth all night trying to scare people. And it's a thousand wonders that he didn't get run over or shot. So sometimes you see things and you got to wonder, am I going crazy? What's going on here? Well, I imagine that's what it must have been like. When the angels appeared, I got to look at the next guy and see, am I seeing this or am I going crazy? But then the angel speaks and everybody else is just as afraid as I am. I imagine they were literally shaking. And now the angel speaks and says, fear not. But he doesn't just leave them with don't be afraid. He gives them reason. I'm bringing you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, listen to me. When the angel of the Lord speaks, you listen. And you go from this moment of incredible fear, megaphobia, to incredible hope. Because when the angel of the Lord says, I'm bringing you good tidings of great joy, I'm telling you, dear friends, even today, when I hear this verse, it brings me joy in my heart. Doesn't it you? Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. It does something inside of me when I hear God's word say, I'm bringing you good tidings of great joy. And so you go from this terrible fear to this incredible hope. And I want you to know, friends, that in Christ today, you have great hope. There's great reason to have joy in our hearts today. We have so much reason to anticipate great things because Jesus Christ was born that Christmas day. Amen. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And just a side note, a reminder, salvation is available to every man, woman, boy, and girl on the planet. Amen. And every man, woman, boy, and girl on the planet can only be saved by Jesus Christ. There is no other way. In our culture today, we have this idea that, you know, you got to respect other people's religions, and that's fine to respect it, but listen to me, I can respect somebody else's religion while I understand that it's a works-based religion and it'll never get them to heaven. There's salvation in none other name. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is the way, not a way, the way, the truth, and the life. Listen, of all the other religions in the world, there's great teachers and all these things that they want to follow. At the end of the day, friends, none of them were God robed in human flesh. None of them died to pay for our sins. None of them conquered death and hell and the grave. Christ is the only one. And so he brings salvation to all men. This is good news for everybody. Verse 11, why is it good news for everybody? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. There's no greater question for every person on the planet to answer. All people need to know the right answer to this question. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And the answer is right there for you. He's a Savior. He's the Savior. He is the only Savior. The only one who could pay for our sins. The only one who could give us life is Him. And He is Christ. He is the Messiah, the promised one of the Old Testament, scripture after scripture. Some scholars say over 333 prophecies were fulfilled just in His first coming. And there are dozens more about His second coming. And I'm just telling you, friends, that for centuries, God's people looked to the future for the day that Messiah would come. And that's who Jesus is. He is Christ. And He is Lord. He's not just a Lord. He is the Lord. And I plead with you today not only to trust Him as your Savior, but to serve Him as your Lord. Have you guys ever heard somebody say, you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life? You ever heard somebody say that? You need to make Jesus the Lord of your life. I've heard people say that, and I understand the sentiment. I used to say the same thing. The reality is Jesus is Lord. You're not going to make Jesus the Lord of your life. He is the Lord of your life. We just need to live like it. We need to live like He's God, and we're not. And unfortunately, too many times our God is our belly. And what that means is we just follow the desires, the lusts of the flesh, and we serve self and we live for self. And what we need to do is come to a place where we understand Jesus is not just our Savior. He is Lord. He is Lord. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You want to find a sign when the King of Glory is born. He's not born in a palace. God didn't send Mary to the temple so that Jesus could be born in the holy place. Maybe you would think of something like that, that He would be born in the temple, He would be born in the king's palace, He would be born someplace like this. But God would give a sign that nobody would ever dream of. He wasn't even born in an inn. He wasn't born at a relative's house. He wasn't born at home. Just out of curiosity, how many of you were born at home? See, we still got some of that generation. God bless you. I weren't born at home. I were born in a hospital where they had medicine for mama, and I'm sure it was good. See, Jesus wasn't even born at home. He wasn't even born in the motel room. He wasn't born at somebody's house. He was born and laid in a manger. It was probably, we like the nativity scenes in this little barn and little thing that we always like to set up. In reality, it was probably a cave. I told you before, Brother Melanson thinks he's found the place. It's under the Tower of the Flock, and there's a place underneath that would be what we would call a basement, but that was where they sheltered the animals. Jesus was born in a place like that. This was a sign. Why? Because nobody would look for that. Nobody would expect that. At the Tower of the Flock, in Bethlehem, not in an inn, not in a relative's house, not, they didn't have hospitals, not even at home. He was born in a stable and laid in a manger. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, those long strips of cloth, and even in His birth, we see a picture of His death. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, they took His body down. Joseph and Nicodemus, they took His body and they wrapped Him in linen. And even in His birth, we see a picture of His death. And He was laid in that manger. And look at verse 13. Suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, you guys know that I love Christmas time. We started listening to Christmas music at Halloween, and I just love this time of year. But I want to tell you that I think that our minds are too low. Our thoughts are too low. That Jesus Christ deserves all the glory to God in the highest. In the highest heavens, in the highest places on earth, in the highest thoughts in our mind, in the highest place in our heart. We ought to give glory to God that Jesus Christ was born. However much you think about His birth, you ought to think about it more. However high you regard that Jesus came to be our Savior, you ought to regard it more. Friends, it's not high enough in our hearts. It's not high enough in our minds. It's not high enough in our thoughts. I don't know that it ever could be, but I know it could be higher. We ought to lift up our thoughts, our hearts, our minds, our worship, our adoration, our praise to God for Christmas time. It's so easy to get distracted with all the other stuff that's going on. How many of you are done with your Christmas shopping? Weird, weird people. How many of you will likely be still trying to get something on Christmas Eve? There's my people. Listen, I get it. I start thinking about it in June. You know, what am I going to get people for Christmas? And, you know, Christmas Eve, I still don't know. You know, we get distracted with who we're going to buy gifts, and then how many of you have a hard time coordinating? Because the older you get, the more this is difficult, because we got to go to this family, got to go to that family, want to make sure we get to see everybody, and we want to spend time with all the different family, and it gets hard, doesn't it? Anybody else? How many of you been to Walmart lately? God bless you. I'm going to pray for you right now. It's nuts. Listen, I hate Walmart any day of the week, but this time of year, it's just an extra special nuts. And we get so distracted with all of those things. When the highest place in our hearts and minds ought to be that Christ was born. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Through the birth of Jesus Christ, dear friends, we have peace with God. Through the birth of Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. We were enemies with God. If you don't have Christ as your Savior, you're not okay with God. You don't have an understanding with the man upstairs. All the different things I hear people say, if you've never humbled yourself and repented of your sin and trusted in Christ alone, it's not good with you and God. You can only come to him by faith in Christ alone, and he'll give you peace. But he doesn't just give you peace with God. He gives you peace from God. He gives us peace inside. And it's a peace that passes understanding. In the midst of the storms, we go through prayer requests. Man, you just listen to the people with cancer and the people who've lost loved ones and all the hurt and all the sorrow and all the grief that people are going through. And yet, in the midst of all of that, you can have peace in your hearts through Christ Jesus. And we can have peace with one another. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And by the way, dear friends, it's only by God's good pleasure, by his purpose and grace, that we're saved. If it weren't for Christmas, we would have no hope. If it weren't for Christmas, all we could ever look forward to would be death. There's nothing. There's nothing without the birth, the life, the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15 says, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Now I want you to see the faith that these men had. There wasn't any discussion about it. They believed the word of the Lord. The angel of the Lord told them, and they understood that this was a message from God. They heard that this was God's word. The Lord has made known unto us. And he doesn't say, let's go see if this thing has come to pass. They said, let's go see this thing which is come to pass. Do you see that? It wasn't a doubt about it. When the angel of the Lord said, the Messiah is come, Christ the Lord is born today in Bethlehem, they said, we got to go see this. I just want to challenge you today. Most of you here today, you know the Lord and you trust in the Lord. We ought to come see him. We ought to have a desire to see him, to be close to him. Now, obviously, we can't see him with these eyes, but I want you to know you can see Jesus every time you open this book. You can see Christ. And it doesn't have to be just in the Gospels. You can see Christ all the way through. From beginning to end. He is Alpha and Omega. He's from the beginning to the end, the creator of all things. And everywhere in Scripture, we can see Christ. You can see him when you open the book. And if you have heard the message of God that Christ has come, you ought to have a desire to go see him. We see him when we get into his word. We see him when we pray. We see him when we gather together to worship him in church. Friends, I've been praying for this program and the singing of the songs, that it would bring God glory, that it would open your eyes to see the glory of God. That's what I hope for you today, that we would see what God has done, and it's glorious. It's glorious in our eyes. They trusted the word of God. And they said, let's go see this which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And verse 16 says they came with haste. They couldn't wait to get there. They were excited to go see Jesus. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And as it always is, when you hear the word of God and believe the word of God and you're obedient to the word of God, you get to see great things. I love it when babies are born. Babies are so awesome. I mean, don't get me wrong. They're gross and stink sometimes, but they are awesome. I love it when God blesses somebody in the church with a new baby or somebody in the family with a new baby. It is a precious thing, that life. It's always special to get to go see somebody's new baby, especially when you can kind of love on them and then send them home with mom and dad. They're the ones who don't get any sleep. It's always a special thing to get to see a new baby. It's always a special thing when baby gets a few weeks old and you bring the baby to church for the first time. It's always so special. But can you imagine what it was like to see baby Jesus? I mean, to walk into that stable that night and see the Son of God lying in a manger. Jesus was like any other baby in appearance. There's no formly, no comeliness or nothing about his form that he should be desired. He looked like any other baby. But there was something different, and we know that when people were exposed to Jesus and they had the Spirit of God in them, there was something different about Jesus, and people knew it. What an incredible thing when they got to walk in the room and see the baby Jesus. They came with haste. They couldn't wait to get there. They found the babe lying in the manger. Verse 17 says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. They heard the word of God. They believed the word of God. They obeyed the word of God. And then they shared the word of God. Pretty simple, isn't it? That is my heart's desire for every one of us today. That as you hear the word of God, you would believe it. And as you believe the word of God, you would obey it. That may mean something different because everyone in the room today is at a different place in their walk with Christ. There may be someone here today who's never been born again. You've never repented of your sin. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. I mean, if you died right now today, you'd end up in hell. And in your heart of hearts, you know that. You need to hear and obey the word of God. You need to repent of your sin and trust in Christ alone. You need to be saved. Some of you have been saved, but you never followed the Lord in baptism, and you need to take that first step of obedience. Friend, listen to me. If you've been saved, but you haven't been baptized, you're living in disobedience to God. Jesus Christ gave an example. He came, and he was baptized. We should follow in his steps. We should publicly identify with Christ. We shouldn't be ashamed. Some of you are scared to get up in front of somebody. I've known a lot of people who wouldn't get baptized because they didn't want to come in front of anybody. But I want to tell you, friend, you ought not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. There ought to be a greater desire to do his will than there is a desire to kind of stay in the shadows. We ought to stand up for Christ and let the world know we're going to walk in newness of life. Jesus is my Savior. I want to follow him. If you hear the word, you believe the word, you ought to obey the word. That means that all of us here today, we need to put off the old man and put on the new man. We need to continue in this process of sanctification where God is changing us and conforming us to the image of Christ. And then we need to share it. If you know Jesus, you ought to be telling somebody else about him. I've got this conviction that if you really know him, you can't help but talk about him. How could you know the Lord of glory and not tell someone else? How could you know that everlasting life is possible and not share that good tidings and great joy with all people. See, when the shepherds came and they saw, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. What did they do? Well, what were they told? That a Savior, Christ the Lord, was born. And so what did they do? They went and told everybody everywhere, and people wondered at it. What does that mean? They were amazed. It's not a normal thing for shepherds to go around preaching to people. That wasn't normal. They were astounded because shepherds were going around with this message. And because there were many of them, they had multiple witnesses. And so people were amazed by their message. They went and told people. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And Mary continued to worship the Lord. Mary continued to meditate on what God had done in her life. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Dear friend, are you glorifying and praising God in your heart today? We ought to go and glorify and praise God in our lives, with our lips, with our walk, with our words, every single day. Come and see, then go and tell. Come and see, go and tell. So this morning, as we consider the birth of our Savior, we consider what Christ came to do and who he is, have you trusted in him? I mean, dear friend, have you been born again? If you've been born again, if you followed him in baptism, it's so basic. It's the first step of obedience. Have you done that? And if you've been saved and baptized and you're in the church, are you serving him day by day? Do you come to see him in his word every day and then go out with that good news to tell others what God's shown you in his word? I don't know where you're at in your walk with Christ today, but I plead with you, if he's convicting your heart this morning, that you would be obedient. Hear his word, believe it, obey it, and share it. Let's stand together. The Holy Spirit's convicting your heart this morning. I plead with you to come. I have no idea. There may be some that are here today that have never been saved. If you've never been born again, I plead with you to come. I know that there are some here today who have professed to be saved, but you've never followed the Lord in baptism. You need to take that step for Christ today. And I know that all of us, every one of us, we're not all that we need to be in Christ. There are things that we need to put off the old man, put on the new man. So if the Lord is convicting your heart this morning, if he's drawing you by his Spirit, you come right now while we sing.